Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, today is a topic we have never talked about before, but one people should pay very close attention to. It's all about the water we drink, and hopefully it'll always be there tomorrow. And there's a group of people, city and county people, that are working on something called watersheds, and we're going to learn all about them today. So one of the gentlemen, one of the people around is Rick Lee, who is going to do, we have four people around the table today.
Right.
Very quickly, throw their names out so we have everybody.
We have Elizabeth Morgan with the City of Rock Hill and David Dixon with the City of Rock Hill and Mark Boland with York County.
All right.
And myself.
And yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Very quickly, for those who haven't met yourself, tell us a little bit about you.
I live here in Rock Hill and have for a long time. Well, most recently served on the DHEC board and former county councilman, and love living here and happy to volunteer to do good things.
And now a trustee at Winthrop University.
Now I'm a trustee at Winthrop. That's correct.
Good. All right, Elizabeth, it's up to you now.
Good afternoon. I have lived in Rock Hill for over 20 years. Love living here and worked at the City of Rock Hill for about 18 years as environmental educator, doing outreach and education and grant writing.
All right. David, go right ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm David Dixon, and I live in Clover. Lived there about 25 years, and I've worked at the City of Rock Hill for 18 years now.
All right.
I'm the stormwater engineer.
Stormwater guy. All right. Mark?
Yes, hey. Yes, I'm Mark Boland, the stormwater administrator and also the development service engineer for York County. And I'm a long-term resident here. I was born here in 1965, 58 years now, going on and so forth. So give some time. I was in the Navy and so forth. But I'm a professional engineer, consulting engineer, but I've only been with the county going on a little over 5 years now.
All right. So let's go back to you, Mr. Rick, if we can. The very first question I have is, what the heck is watershed? I mean, most people have no idea what that is.
Well, watersheds are geologic formations, really, where the water falls from the rain and accumulates, and it gradually flows to our rivers. So the Catawba River is the sum total of all the water from all the watersheds on the right or left of the river that move water in for us to use as our drinking water and recreation and so on and so forth.
So if the watersheds aren't working right, we're not going to have our water supply working right.
Well, you could have too much turbidity, or you could have contamination from industry or septic tanks and that sort of thing that would be flowing into it if you didn't pay attention to your watersheds.
What about trash?
Trash? Oh, Lord, yes. So if you go see what's floating down the Catawba River right now, it originated probably in somebody's watershed where someone dumped it, and the rains carried it forward.
So what prompted all this, this organization, this group that's working on this?
Well, when we first got together, the drought out west was in full swing, and we were listening to the stories of the different states running out of water and not having planned properly for the amount of consumption, and story after story that was all negative. And I was on the DHEC board at the time. And so one of the city councilmen, Coach Perry, a longtime friend, was sharing with me some complaints that his constituents had voiced with him regarding stormwater problems, where trash was backing up the water and it was flooding and so on. And so, too, did Bump Roddy. He shared stories with me with regards to it. So I got to looking into it and realized that really here in York County, we know more about our roads and when the mail's delivered and then when the trash is picked up than we do about our drinking water. And as always, water is only valued when the well runs dry. So rather than wait till we have some calamity, I've tried to get everybody together for a meeting to form this group, the Watershed Evaluation Team, so that we could jointly, without any politics, work together, because the jurisdictions all crossed lines with these various watersheds in York County. And as it turned out, we had a great response. It was really tremendous success.
And for those who were not around here, I don't know what it was, 10 or 15 years ago when we had a major drought,
yeah,
and we watched Lake Wylie literally dry up. I can remember going to some friends' houses that live along the lake, and you could actually walk out to about the middle of the lake close to it. We were in very serious issues there. Thank God we got the water back, but it can happen.
It can happen, but you also got to just pay attention to the stormwater issues, make sure creek beds are in good order and sedimentation is not severe and that you don't have contamination flowing into the lake.
All right, so your first step was to realize that there's an issue, and based on what's happening in other parts of the country.
Correct.
And then you got everybody involved around the table.
Yeah, we got the Catawba Indian Nation, Fort Mill, Tiga K, York County, and Rock Hill. I think that was everybody, wasn't it?
And how'd you go about that? I mean, did you go to each one of the entities?
Yes, went to each one at a time and talked to them, explained what it was that I was hoping to accomplish, and then call a meeting, which we held over at the city's maintenance office here in Rock Hill. And we went from there, and then we had rotating meetings, so everybody got a chance to have one. We were at Fort Mill, and we were down at the Catawba Indian Nation, and so on and so forth. And we worked hard to keep to keep everybody focused on the mission without politics. So Grazia Ray from the COG was part of our team. We named her as the vice chair, and then the members selected me to be the chair because I wasn't I had no elected affiliation with any particular organization. So we called regular meetings, kept minutes, set goals, established objectives. The city of Rock Hill volunteered to be the sort of secretary and do clerical and make applications for grants. And we went from there. It was just a tremendous success. I would say I can't think of a better one that there have been multi-governments involved.
Does show you that it can work when everybody has a like mind, right?
It can work. Yes, it can.
So, David, grab that microphone there. And when you got pulled into this, I gather based on your background, this all made a lot of sense. It was something that needed to be addressed.
Yes, we were already looking at it anyway for a couple of stream restoration projects that the city was looking at already working on anyway. So it was right down the alley of where we needed to try to find some money anyway. So we were trying to look for grants, and when Rick approached us about this, it made a lot of sense and was something that we could definitely buy into.
So, Elizabeth, I guess this is where you get drawn into all this. You need money to do these studies.
Correct.
And that's part of what you do.
Right, yes. So looking for funding for city needs is part of what the grants department works on. So working with David and Stormwater, we were able to determine that this project would be great for a DHEC watershed-based plan grant. And so we looked into that. Research what we needed to do. Having a group of several different jurisdictions together made us more competitive, I guess, for the grant. So that was really great to already have this group established working towards a goal. And so we were able to successfully apply for a watershed-based plan grant and able to carry out the project.
So you've gotten the grants, is that correct?
Correct, yes. We've received the funding. We have a grant agreement with DHEC for two watershed-based plans.
Now, does this require, like, a local match from all the different entities involved with this?
It does not, no.
It does not.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Mark, you got drawn into this. From the county's perspective, it made sense to do what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. This is tremendously important to, I believe, everybody and so forth. In fact, you know, looking at what the city's been doing and so forth, of course, they're years ahead of what the county's programs have been. We've been more kind of reactive and so forth. I've you know, gone out and met with citizens and so forth concerning, you know, issues concerning their concerns over water quality, you know, from construction sites, from, you know, from leaking septic systems and things like this. So this is well due. This is definitely something we need to really focus on. I'm very grateful to county management to allowing us to proceed from the county side.
I wonder whether all of this involves the incredible amount of development that we have here that's going on and continuing to go on. I mean, how much, if you go out west and you see what's happening in Las Vegas and the adjoining states, The Colorado River has been going down, 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 down. If you go to the Hoover Dam, there's hardly any water behind it anymore. And I just wonder, are we about, do we run the risk of repeating that here with all the growth initiatives and all the popularity? Who wants to tackle that one? Look, Mr. Lee's going to grab that one.
Well, we have not reached that tipping point yet, but that doesn't mean that we aren't on a trajectory at some point to have a more difficult time meeting water needs. What we're trying to do, I think, more than anything else, is to give a tool to our planners with regards to the exact condition of the creeks and the water flow and identify the septic tanks, which I'm sure there are plenty of them in the county that are not operating effectively, and so are probably releasing products into the watershed that eventually winds up in the river. So this can be a very good planning tool, and it should be something that works its way into the planning department, so that if you're going to put 500 homes in an area and you've got a creek that runs through there, all the land in that 500 home area is part of the watershed, and so you alter the flow of water, you need to know what the impacts will be.
All right, so the first step was trying to figure out what the watershed, where the watersheds are, or do you already know that?
Watersheds are defined. Elizabeth, maybe you want to talk about it some more?
Sure, yeah. Watersheds are already defined. That's predetermined outlier. So South Carolina DHEC has a great resource called the South Carolina Watershed Atlas, and anybody can access it from their website. But it's a great way to be able to see the watersheds, see what areas are contained within those watersheds. For this particular project and this particular grant, there are some requirements. Your watershed has to have source water protection. So that kind of narrowed down which watersheds we could study. And then from there, we chose the ones that we thought would be most beneficial, like David and Mark said, that would have projects coming up, different activities that we were already looking at. So we focused on those watersheds for the grant.
So there's more watersheds than what you initially have put down here?
Correct, yes. York County has several watersheds within the county limits, and the city has several. And like Rick was saying, they're not determined by municipal jurisdiction or boundaries. You know, watersheds are their own entity, so they cross several, you know, county, cities can be within one watershed.
All right, so David, we know based on the input, I guess, you're getting already from residents that there are some issues that need to be dealt with. And we just have to figure out what they are and how serious they are and structure a plan for dealing with that. Is that right?
Right, yeah. Most of the comments and things that we're hearing from the residents are erosion, the bank erosion. A lot of their houses and properties have bank erosion. They're losing property. So we hear a lot of that from the residents around the city.
So how are you going to control that? I mean, that's mostly a function, is it not, of development?
It can be. And, I mean, as we ride in roads, it's not just private development. As we ride widen the roads, that's contributing to it. It's the velocity. You're increasing the velocity and the volume of the water, so that's causing the bank erosion.
And just the growing number of the growing amount of asphalt in this county.
Right. That's
for
exactly
whatever
right.
reason.
Right.
Roads, foundations for buildings, I mean, the whole thing.
Well, one of the issues that you get in with this is you're planning on where you're going to allow growth to occur and its impact downstream, because a person down the stream doesn't really have any say in what happens above. And so you really got to clearly understand what you're doing when you move in development that impacts a viable stream or river bank. So,
well, then when you get these studies done and they come back, and they say you got X, Y, and Z, and you needed to be doing A, B, and C. Boy, oh boy!
Well, this study, and you can confirm this if you'd like, is the key to the vault. It's the key to the vault. That is, you have to do these studies if you want to get federal funding to correct major problems. And it really serves as a tool for the counties so that they don't have to incur the full cost of it downstream. Because once the federal government approves your study, and DHEC approves your study, then you're eligible for other types of funding, which Elizabeth can explain.
Yeah, so that's correct. So the watershed-based plan is really our opportunity to know more about our watershed, to see where there may be some opportunities for improvement, and also know where things are going well. So it's just a great tool for us to have in the future of an overall look into this watershed. And then we can take that document, which then becomes a document that's posted on DHEC's website. It's a living document. We can update and change as we need to. But that does allow us to be eligible for certain other grant funding opportunities to then do the mitigation that we may have identified within the plan.
But then once you've done all that and you know what the issues are, then you get into this business about, and get Mark involved with this, ordinances to try to keep it from coming back or becoming worse?
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's why we have the ordinances and so forth, to try to at least put a control over, or put a limit, or set some type of a standard and so forth, so that we don't, as growth goes on and so forth, we don't create adding to a problem and so forth. And that's what we try to do.
So do we have, I mean, are the ordinances we have in the city and the county, are they, I guess they're not adequate based on what we're hearing?
Yeah, that's a good point. They're sufficient. Basically they meet minimum standards. If we look at what the state requires and what even the federal government, FEMA, requires, you know, I know for the county's, you know, ordinances, we meet the minimum standards. We do what's necessary and so forth. For example, our flood damage prevention ordinance and so forth, we've enacted that, we've adopted it and so forth, and it allows you know, people who live in flood-prone areas and so forth to acquire flood insurance at a discounted rate.
All right. We're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, we got a crowd around the table here. We know what we do at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. The way we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to say it together. Are we ready? Grab the microphones, everybody. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Yarn, yarn, yarn. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, the turkey and ham at Substation 2 seem really popular.
Absolutely. They're all natural meats, no nitrates or added ingredients, 98% fat-free, only the best turkey and ham for salads and subs.
Slice, 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 garden, 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 Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Investing can be like a puzzle. There are so many pieces to consider, and it can be hard to know where to start. But with the right guidance, you can put the pieces together to create a winning strategy. That's where Founders Investment Services comes in. Our team of financial advisors can help you navigate the complexities of investing and create a personalized plan that fits your goals and risk tolerance. We'll work with you to identify the pieces of your puzzle and how they fit into your financial future. Call 866-739-7064 or visit foundersfcuinvestments.com to learn more about how we can help you take the first step towards reaching your financial goals. Securities offered through LPL Financial.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Slice, slice, slice! Yard, yard, yard!
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice, slice, slice! Yard, yard, yard!
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We have a table full of people who are getting us educated about wetlands and how important they are. They call themselves WET, the Wetlands Evaluation Team, and wetlands are a very important part of what goes on in providing water, drinking water, water for whatever use. I think a lot of our discussion has been centered around the Catawba River, but we have another river called the Broad River, which is involved with this as well. Rick Lee, Elizabeth Morgan, David Dixon, and the man, the myth, no, Mark Bolin, are with us today, representing the city, the county, and interested citizens. Very good. And this is really, Rick, I'm going to get you started off. This really is a great example of how everybody can work together on a common issue that's important to everybody.
That's correct. And it does cross all jurisdiction lines. We had support from Watts Huckabee and Bump Roddy and others at the county to support participation in this program, as well as the county manager. And, in fact, he even attended a couple of our meetings and joined in on the questions and so on and so forth. So I don't think that there's anybody who's been other than pleased with the ability to call one another on the phone now. All the people who participate in the watershed-type work activities for the various governments can call one another now. They know each other by face and by having shared broken bread at our meetings. So the communication lines have opened up quite a bit as well.
All right, so there's going to be a cost for these studies. Mm-hmm. The cost for the studies, is that being borne locally or is that being borne by grants of one kind or another?
There is some local cost. But fortunately, we had Elizabeth on our team, and she made a grant application. I think it was close to $100,000 we got, wasn't it? So we got about $100,000, and normally these watersheds cost somewhere around $80,000 each to do. So we were able to reduce the total cost commitment from the various municipalities in the county and move ahead with that credit in the bank. And there do have at least two of the studies underway, so maybe David or Elizabeth could share some of the details of that.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, we actually hired McAdams Engineering out of Charlotte or North Carolina, and they've had some previous experience doing some watershed master plans in North Carolina, so we chose to go with them. They're actually working on three of the watersheds, the Burgess, Dutchman, and Tools Fork, as we speak. They're a little bit ahead of schedule on the Burgess and Dutchman. Tools Fork's a little bit behind, but we got them started a little bit later on it. But, yeah, they've done completed the assessments of Burgess and Dutchman, and we're in the review process of that right now. And then once we complete the review, then they'll start the actual plan development.
So that's part of the deal. They do the assessment and they come up with a remediation plan?
Right. The remediation plan is actually the actual plan after they do the assessment.
All right. Okay. So that's what you take, Elizabeth, to DHEC and say, okay, here it is. We need money.
That's what we take to the next funding source. So, yes, we would take that to other federal funding sources and say, here's what we identified in our watershed-based plan. Now we need XYZ for the mitigation program. So, you know, they identified there was this problem in this creek and that stream bank restoration or, you know, a wetland or some sort of mitigation activity would benefit this area. We need this much money based on this assessment to complete this project.
So we have five watersheds, three?
We're currently doing three right now.
We're doing three, but we have, what, two more to be done or just one more?
One more.
Okay,
We're seeking funding for that one right now.
Okay, so I get lost in all this. Talk to me about the Broad River. I mean, these areas cover that as well, Mark?
They do not. These watersheds drain to the Catawba River.
Okay.
And, that's right now we're not focusing on any watersheds on the Broad River, sort of the western part of the county.
Is there an interest in doing that? Do you think it needs to be done?
I think eventually we do need to get around to it. It's it does affect, you know, water quality issues and so forth are not just associated to our, you know, Catawba River area and so forth. The Broad River itself is has its own issues too. And so, you know, even though we don't have a large urbanized footprint in that area and so forth, but the concern of having agriculture and the land uses out there for timber and so forth, we still need to be, you know, we still recommend that we should move towards some watershed studies in the future in that area.
So, Rick, what is the timetable on all this? In other words, these studies are supposed to be done by what, the end of the year?
We have 2 years to get the studies done.
Okay.
So it does take time. And, you know, when you look at the procurement obligations and then the people actually have to go out and tromp through the creeks and the watershed areas and then reduce it to a written report. The reports I've seen are somewhere around 120 pages per watershed.
Whew.
And there's lots of tables and graphs and quantities and all that are included in it. So it's a scientific paper, really.
Oh, yeah.
And it's important that people understand the impact that this can have with regards to where they live. You know, if you look at Tools Fork, you've got Highland Creek and College Downs and Sunset Park and all those neighborhoods in there who are within that watershed. And there's a lot of water that comes down their way from up the creek.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be a lot of benefit to the residents in the areas where these watersheds exist.
So you take all these studies. We submit them to the funding agencies. They give you a green light. Then your next step is to hire somebody to do whatever the work is that has to be done?
Correct. Do it in-house or hire out again. Look, you know, put out a bid to have the work done. One of the things I did want to back up and mention with these watershed plans is that they don't just happen in a vacuum between the group, the planning group, which has been great, and the contractor, which has been great. But we are also seeking public input. You know, there's people that live in these watersheds, and we want to make sure that we hear their opinion about what's happening, too. So there is a survey that folks can take, and you'll find it on our various social medias. We'll be pushing it out. Or you can go to tinyurl.com/rh-survey. So again, if you didn't, you know, couldn't jot that down, just go to any of our social medias, you know, City of Rock Hill, York County, and you'll find that when we get ready to push it out. But it is important for us to know what the people that live and work and, you know, have their lives in these watersheds, what they think as well.
Well, this is a long-term project. I mean, this isn't going to happen overnight. You've got the studies that have to be completed, then you have to get the funding for it, and somebody has to go out and do all the work, whoever that is. I mean, you're talking about years.
Yeah, and that's why every day delay is a one-day delay to get to the solution. So it can be culverts on roadways that have impacted the flow in creeks during storms. It can be a whole array of items. But once we get this $80,000 study done in each of the watersheds, it's at that point that we will have identified the problems, and we can then go to the vault, the EPA or the federal government, and apply for funds which are specifically for resolution of problems in watersheds like we might identify. So then once you apply for the grant and you get the grant, you've got to go through the cycle again with another contractor to actually do the work.
Rick Lee, Elizabeth Morgan, David Dixon, and Mark Bolin, thank you all for the work that you're doing on this. I hope we can do a follow-up on this once we get the reports back and find out what's going on. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, you get one more opportunity to show everybody exactly how good you are. Dr. Scott Oliver is here to judge on you. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.